गोपाल की श्री भक्ति वेदांत की ग्रंथ राज भगवतान की गिरिराज महाराज की जय गो प्रेम After the Yavana was burned to ashes, the Supreme Lord, chief of the Satvatas, revealed himself to the wise Muchukunda. As he gazed at the Lord, King Muchukunda saw that he was dark blue like a cloud, had four arms, and wore a yellow silk garment. On his chest he bore the Srivatsa mark, and on his neck the brilliantly glowing Kaustubha gem. Adorned with a Vaijayanti garland, the Lord displayed his handsome, peaceful face, which attracts the eyes of all mankind with its shark-shaped earrings and affectionately smiling lips. The beauty of his youthful form was unexcelled, and he moved with the nobility of an angry lion. The highly intelligent king was overwhelmed by the Lord's effulgence, which showed him to be invincible. Expressing his uncertainty, Muchukunda hesitatingly questioned Lord Krishna as follows.
It is significant that text 24 states Chaturbhujam Rochamanam. The Lord was seen in the beauty of his four-armed form. Throughout this great work, we find Lord Krishna manifesting his various transcendental forms, most prominently the two-armed form of Krishna and the four-armed form of Narayana or Vishnu. Thus, there is no doubt that Krishna and Vishnu are non-distinct, or that Krishna is the original form of the Lord. These things are sometimes misunderstood, but the great acharyas, experts in spiritual science, have clarified the matter for us. God in his original form is not merely the creator, maintainer and destroyer, or the punisher of conditioned souls, but rather the infinitely beautiful Godhead enjoined in his own height, in his own abode. This is the form of Krishna, the same Krishna who expands himself into Vishnu form for maintenance of our bumbling world. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that the word Sankhya, having some doubt, indicates that Muchukunda was thinking, is this indeed the Supreme Lord? He expresses himself frankly in the following verses.
Thank you. Any comments?
The Lord is very beautiful, and he can take any form as a presented or so.
Any other form? Any other point?
Beautiful glance, smiling face.
So Bhagavatam says, Ete Chamsa Kalapum Sam. Krishna's two? Bhagavan Swayam. The original form of God is, it's actually Krishna in Vrindavan. What we're hearing about here is Krishna in Dwarka. That's actually an expansion of the original form. But the original form is the two-handed form. What we're seeing here is the expanded form. And he's showing Aishwarya. So in the mood of Aishwarya, then he is showing four arms. But still, there are special features which establish Krishna or designate Krishna as different to his expansion. So some of them are mentioned here. So one is the Sri Vatsa. Sri Vatsa is also there on Lord Narayan's chest. He also has the Sri Vatsa. Sri Vatsa means a little tuft of blonde hair, which is on the chest of the Lord. In Vaikuntha, then the servants also have a very similar form to the Lord. So this is one way that he looks slightly different, so that they can understand who is the Lord and who is not the Lord. Then another feature is the Kaustubhamani. Kaustubhamani is Krishna's favorite jewel, and it's the most precious and opulent of all jewels. And Krishna wears that on his chest. Kaustubhamani is an extraordinary jewel, and it's imprinted with the form of a little calf on the jewel. So this just shows that Krishna's favorite jewel, which he keeps on his chest, shows that the cows are the closest thing to him, the most dear thing to him. The famous verse is there that Lord Chaitanya would chant at Rathiyatra in Jagannath Puri. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Gopamana Hitayaja. Forget to tell you Krishna. Vindaya. But then Prabhupada says, Gopamana Hitayaja. The cows are even more dear to Krishna than the Brahmana. That shows the exalted position of the cow. And we see now in Melbourne, there's a push for Goseva and cow protection being established. It's like these devotees have begun this Ahimsa milk program. Is anyone involved with that?
No.
Yeah, so all of you should only buy that milk. Yeah, only buy that milk. Support them. Take that milk from the Ahimsa. Okay. Our farm, our cows are only giving about 3 litres a day at the moment. There's not many of them milking. And the ones that are milking, they're not giving very much. So there's not going to be a lot of milk for distribution. But our farm is the most ideal farm in terms of cow protection. Surpasses all the other projects, but in terms of milk production, it doesn't. It's not as abundant as the other program. But the point is that cow protection is being implemented, and it's being established, which is very enthusing, especially under the inspiration of Bhakti Vasanlika Swami. He's the one who's inspired very much the devotees to do that. So that Kaustubhamani, what is it constituted of? No, that's the moon locket. That's a different jewel. So what is the Kaustubhamani constituted of? It's all of us. All the jivas. They make up that jewel. So in other words, Krishna's on his heart, he keeps all of us there. All the jivas, all of his servants. So in atomic form, because the soul is atomic, all of us are there. Simultaneously we're there, but we're also in so many other places like that. And then there's the other locket, the moon locket, which he keeps on his chest. What is that made of? Moonshine. During the day, it looks like a pearl or a moonstone. But at night time, when the moon comes out, it melts, and then the light goes into the moon. And then during the daytime, then it hardens, turns into a jewel. It's like a moon jewel, which is down his chest. And he has those two jewels, which he always wears. And then it also describes here, he has this shark-shaped earring. It means they're long. It's like a uncover. It's like a animal, which is like a shark and an elephant kind of combined. So he wears long earrings. And it says of all of his ornaments, these are the most pleasing to the devotees, because they give unlimited joy to the devotees. So Krishna dresses very, very glamorously. When he dresses, then everyone notices him. It says it is like a dramatic actor on the stage. You know, if you're doing a play, you know, the kids do the play, they put on the turbans, and they've got their jewels and their turbans and their strings of pearls. And Krishna dresses like that all the time. So imagine if you walked around the temple like that all the time. Then that's how Krishna dresses.
Walks like a lion.
Like an angry lion, yeah. Walks like an angry lion. He dresses very flamboyantly. But when he dresses like that, it looks very natural. If we dress like that, you know, everyone would say to us, are you on the way to a drama? Are you about to do a play? Why are you dressed like that? Krishna just dresses like that all the time. It's like there's a drama about to take place. A continuous lila. So he dresses very flamboyantly. So it describes here that this is the original form of God. And there are certain characteristics that we can understand this is the original form. We should study these things, and we should understand all of these features of Krishna's form, his rupa, and we should meditate on them. Like when you're doing deity worship. Actually, the most important part of deity worship is the manasa puja. Just like I worship Giriraj, and then after I do like the physical puja, then I stop and then I do some manasa puja, things that I can offer to him that I don't have available. Like that. So actually the manasa puja is even more important than the So then you can meditate. I'm offering him, dressing him with the costume of Mani, the moonlight, these different ornaments which are there. You know that picture in your lounge room on the wall, the divine couple? Yeah, so that's very accurate, that particular picture. The artist, Krishna does, was it? Yeah, he's really studied his description. And you see many of the features in that picture are very accurate about how Krishna actually looks, his ornaments and all those things. It's a very nice picture, it's an important picture. Any other points?
I think the imprint of calf is there, or the calf?
The calf.
Calf. And what about the, because you were, the other traditional forms. Do they have all the features?
It describes, I think if we go back to the Bhagavatam, sometimes when Narayan appears, I think it says he has Kastubha Mani.
And what about
you have to read through the descriptions. There's several times in the Bhagavatam where Lord Vishnu appeared. So you have to do some research. And then you can tell him. What is that? Vajayanti Galan, what is that? Wild forest flower. If you make a Galan for Krishna, it must have a minimum of? 5 types of flowers. Minimum of 5 types. But 7 is better. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe 9. But it has to be very often. In the spiritual world, they make garlands very elaborately. You see here, the Lord mentioned, we saw Radharani the other day. In the picture, very nice garland. Very good. The good thing about the Melbourne Temple is the festivals here are world class. Much more than many of the other temples in the country. There's only a few temples which, you know, which surpass. But yeah, you see, like on the Julan Yatra. Melbourne has the best jewel in Yatra that I've seen. You can't push the deities away. And most of the temples you just pull a little broken, a little before. Isn't it? You push Krishna like this, is much more exciting. And he goes right up, fucking up with his finger, goes right up, almost hits the bars and comes down. Much more exciting. You know, in the spiritual world, there's a pastime. Krishna's on the swing with Radharani. And then Krishna, each time the swing goes, he makes it go higher, and then higher, and then higher. And Radharani, she begins to scream, and she's holding on to Krishna. And Krishna pushes so high that the swing goes. And then it winds up like on the branch, and then they're just sitting on the top. And Krishna just smiles at Radharani. And just says, very enjoyable pastime. In the spiritual world, the jewel moon is like a big lotus flower. And Radha and Krishna sit in the middle, and they face each other like that. And then the eight main gopis sit around them on different petals. And the swing can go in different directions, not just like up and down, but it can go like around. And, you know, when you go to all the carnivals, you see all the different rides that we had. So they're all coming from the loka. And it describes that Ananda Vrindavan Champu says there's some Jula Nyatra, and they mix Jula Nyatra with Holi. And the big swings are like platforms, and there's multiple gopis, like a dozen gopis with Krishna. And the swings, there's four of them in the four directions, and they're all coming in and out like that. And each time they come in close, everyone throws colors on each other. They're much more fun. You can't have this kind of fun in the material world. It's still we're attached to the material world. And the spiritual world is unlimited pleasure. So we see that all of these pastimes and the form of Krishna here, we should meditate on these features. We should meditate on the different features of Krishna's form, which are there. And then from meditating on his form, then we can meditate on his pastime. Nama, Rupa, Guna, and then Lila. So you have to meditate on this when you become more advanced. Like the Santa Sarasvati Thakur said, if you've been a devotee for 15 or 20 years, you should be meditating on this thing. So many of you, anyone been devoted 15 or 20 years? No one?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, so you should be meditating. You should begin meditating. Cultivate. Meditation on the form of Krishna. In the Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram temple, they had the boat festival.
Yeah.
You saw it recently on the internet?
Yeah.
You saw the way they decorated the courtyard? So that they fill it with water? You see the way they decorated the flowers? Well, that was amazing. That was amazing. That was like amazing beauty. It gives you an idea of what the spiritual world is like. The spiritual world is even more elaborate than that. You can just see how amazing it is. Any points?
The moon is
in the daytime. Yes.
And the night
time it goes to the moon. It goes to the moon. The daytime it comes back. The night time it goes. And then it comes back again. Any other point?
So, Italy poster with the goat and the Lord about 30 years ago. There was a picture showing that last time. The Lord was speaking in the goat. In the goat. Mm-hmm. 30 years ago, it's a very long time. Yes, it's just come out.
Yeah, and that's the poster is available. Where they go around on the boat and then they mini gopis.
Similarly, you can meditate on Lord Vishnu. Shanta Dharam Bhaja Shainam Padmavam Suresham Vishwa Dharam Dharam Sudrasham Megmanam Chuhanam Lakshmi Kantam Kamanayam Yogi Vajyan Dhanyam Sande Vishnu Vajram Talokunam Yam Brahma Varne Dhrudh Marta Astan Vanti Vidhi Achyaya Vedi Sam Pratkamok Nodhi Adhiyaya
Vedi. The whole Brahma Samhita. So we should meditate. That's what these descriptions are for. The Brahma Samhita and all the other descriptions which are there, the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is many verses which are there. There's a section in the Bhagavatam called it gives like a very elaborate description of Krishna's form, and we should meditate on that. And Chara is the point about these verses that we should meditate upon in the 10th chapter. Any other points? Sri Mukunda, Sri Muchukunda said, "Who are you who have come to this mountain cave in the forest, having walked on the thorny ground with feet as soft as lotus petals?" So his feet are soft like lotuses. This is the meditation of the devotee, particularly it is mentioned earlier in the 10th canto, the meditation of the gopi. Now, when they meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, they meditate that they are so soft, they cannot bear the thought of him walking barefoot through the Vrindavan forest, because he may pierce his feet with a thorn or like that. So it means when we have that kind of care, that kind of sentiment and attachment to the deity, then we can understand we're beginning to progress in our Krishna consciousness. Because the deity, we should be feeling what the deity is feeling. That's called Atma Van Seva. That means if I'm feeling it, the deity is feeling it. It's like if it's cold, then the deity must be cold. So you worship differently. It's like if we're doing deity worship, then you use Hina or what's the other oil? Musk. Okay. Use the warm oil because it's cold weather. And then if it's hot weather, then you use rose oil or the flower oil or champaka or something.
Okay.
Yeah, chanda. If it's really hot. If it goes up like in the hot days, then you put chanda on the deity. So whatever we are feeling, then the deity must be feeling that. So when we advance in Krishna consciousness, then we should be feeling what the deity is feeling. This is what Muchukunda is thinking. Muchukunda is thinking, Krishna's feet must be pain, in pain. They must be pain. Because his feet are so soft and he's walking barefoot, and he's coming to the mountain cave and like that. So we should feel like that. If we have some feeling, then we will we'll begin to feel concerned about how the deity is feeling. It's like the devotees, they ask Prabhupada, why does Krishna need to be fed? Well, Prabhupada said, because he is hungry. That's how Mother Yashoda feels. So you could say, okay, Krishna's God, he doesn't need anything to eat. That's true. But she always feels like he is hungry. That's why we cook for the deity. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, everything is already prasadam. So then the devotee, Hari Sarupu, said to Prabhupada, why do we need to cook? Prabhupada said, because Krishna is hungry. So we should be feeling, having a sentiment arising. Just like I was on Navadvip Mandal Parikram, 1994, and we had some Gaudiya deities, which they were carrying at the front of the party, some devotees were carrying, like in a small altar. They were carrying, and the devotees taking care of things. And then they put it down, we got to one place, and then there were some of the sannyasi's dandas were leaning against the pole, and then someone knocked one of the dandas, and it began to fall towards the deity. And Acharyapad, Jagataka Swami, he would say, at that time I was standing there and the deities were down and he was having darshan of the deities. And then as the dunda began to fall, he cried out. He said, oh! Like that, and he put his hands up to grab the. So I could see he had bhava, healing. That should be the sentiment of the devotee.
Plain Roma.
His feeling. You should be feeling something.
Plane, airplane.
So you should be feeling something towards the deity. That's the point. That's called Atma Van Seva. Whatever I am, experiencing, the deity must be experiencing. So That is the way to serve Krishna. Any points? Perhaps you are the potency of all potent beings, or maybe you are the powerful god of fire, or the sun god, the moon god, the king of heaven, or the ruling demigod of some other planet. So this is a description of Krishna's effulgence. What comes out of Krishna? What do we call it? Yeah, we call that effulgence, Brahma Jyoti. Brahma means? Spiritual, right? And jyoti means the light. So it means the spiritual light which emanates in Krishna. And what is the Brahma jyoti made of? Right? Whenever you see a picture of Krishna, he always has effulgence around him. Right? What is that made of? What is that effulgence constituted of? Yeah, but what's it made of? Yeah. And what else? Yeah, that's all of his shakti. It's his potency. Yeah? So he has so many shakti and they're all emanating from him. Yeah? So he has 16 main potencies or 16 main shakti. So all those different shaktis are emanating from him. And then they can serve him at any time. So that is Krishna's potency. It's like the sun. The sun is full of potency. So there's so much energy. So similar, Krishna is just full of divine energy. Sixteen principles. I think you are the supreme personality among the three chief gods. Since you drive away the darkness of this cave, as a lamp dispels darkness with its light. Jagannath Ramprabhuji.
One verse?
Yeah. Did I miss a bit? No. This is correct. Please read something.
Points out that it is because Lord Krishna dispels not only the darkness of the mountain cave, but also the darkness in the heart. In Sanskrit, the heart is sometimes metaphorically referred to as guha, cavern, a deep and secret place.
What are the points there? Any other points? Which verse is that? Chapter 10, verse number
11.
No, it's just 11. Number 11, Chatur Shloki. So, we have to allow Krishna to enter our heart. Krishna wants to enter our heart, but he cannot at this point in time. Yeah, because if you're a high class person, you don't go to a dirty place. Isn't it? You're a high class person. So, you know, if you're a high class culture person, you don't go to some dirty place. That's like this. Considered untouchable. You don't feel comfortable there. Prabhupada says, if you walk into a room and the room is dirty and you don't feel disturbed, if that means you are in the mode of ignorance. The devotee is known for cleanliness. Suci is one of the qualities of the Brahmana and the devotee. Solcham. What does Krishna say when he says the qualities of the Brahmana in the 18th chapter of the Gita? What's that verse? Tamas. tapa, salt chum means cleaning. That's the same. So the two types of cleanliness, there's the external, which the devotee will be, and even more importantly is the internal. Because Krishna cannot sit in our heart until we become clean. So he wants to sit in our heart, but he won't sit there. He will keep holding back. But Muchukunda's heart was clean, therefore Krishna entered. And it became effulgent. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was effulgent. Many people say, even non-devotees say, he was effulgent. Why? Because Krishna was there in the heart. He manifested his effulgence. So, the pastime is there with the Gundicha Margin, famous pastime. And the pastimes of, what's it then? It takes place at the Gundicha Mandir. Have you been there? In Jagannath Puri? Did you go inside?
Yes.
Out of sympathy for the Western Bhagavan? You can go, but I can't go. One time I said to the guard, I said, I'll give you 1 lakh. He let me go in. He said, 1 lakh? And then he went and spoke to some other guy, and I was going to go anyway. But interesting. You can buy your way into places. But Lord Chaitanya, that whole pastime of the Gundicha Mandir, the Gundicha Namajana pastime, is that you must cleanse the heart. And Lord Chaitanya cleansed twice. First time he went, they picked up all the larger pieces of debris. And that represents following the four regular principles. If you want Krishna to sit in your heart, you have to stop eating meat, stop having illicit sex, stop taking intoxication, stop gambling. Being Krishna. But then you have to go in the second time and cleanse. And Lord Chaitanya went back and they cleansed even more thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then that represents name, fame, honor, yeah, all those, if there's a list of things that you're giving in the purport, all those extra things. Na janam, na sunim, kavitam. So those things have to be cleansed from the consciousness. Na danam. Dana means? Well, attached to money. Everyone in this world is attached to money. But the problem is, as devotees, sometimes you can become attached. Because when you become prominent as a devotee, people start to give you dakshina. Right? And then when you get dakshina, you can become attached to that as well. Right? Even one devotee, a friend of mine, and he's a very good devotee as well, but he was complaining to me. He said, I went to preach there, they didn't give me anything. They called me to preach, they didn't give me anything. And he said, what do you think? And I said, from your side, you should not be attached. Because that means you're becoming attached. You shouldn't go to preach just because we're getting some economic facility. Then the preaching is contaminated. So that should not be the motivation for the preaching. So nadanam. Najanam. Najana means followers. Everyone likes to have followers. And then people, when you become a prominent preacher, then people glorify you. They surrender to you, they bow to you, they offer favor to you. So many things that they do like that. But then that can become the motivation for your devotional service. So you have to be careful of those things. And then sundarim kavitam means the glorification of the opposite sex. Sometimes you give class, you're a preacher, you give class. And then the Mataji's come, some beautiful Mataji comes. He says, oh, Prabhu, that's a good thing. But in your heart, you're accepting it all. And you become, it contaminates your preaching. Because you feel the attachment to that glorification from the opposite sense. And then subtle sex life is entering into, in the name of Krishna consciousness. It's very subtle, but it happens. You have to be careful of these things. Lord Chaitanya wants us, but these are the more subtle things. So Krishna cannot sit in the heart until we get rid of those qualities. We have to be careful what we're motivated by in devotional service. That's one good thing about staying on the farm. No one gives me respect. There's only a few of us there. And they don't really care anyway. Sometimes they yell at me or they do different things. I come here and everyone's very respectful. Everybody's like, oh, it's a woo, like that. My daughter said to me the other day, she goes, people really respect you here. So when I'm down the farm, you know, she doesn't listen to me, she'll do whatever she wants, and then she'll sometimes talk back at me and do these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do the kids sometimes do that to their parents? Sometimes I do. That's why I think in my evolution of Krishna consciousness, I think it's good that I, you know, have some time like in a place like that. Because then, you know, you don't get respected. Otherwise, if you're in a situation all the time where everyone respects you, you can become attached to it and motivated by it. So you have to be careful. Not that you shouldn't be in those situations, but you do have to be careful. Otherwise, you can become contaminated in consciousness. Even when I was in Mayapur a few months back, I saw my Shiksha Guru, Pankajangari Guru. You all know. Famous. Yes, they were there. Yeah, Vyasa Puja, the true Paramahamsa Vaishnava. So I saw Pankajangari Prabhu, and then I said to him, oh, you know, where have you been? He said, I just got back from Braj Mandal Parikram. He went to Vrindavan, and I was doing Braj Mandal Parikram. And yeah, he said he must have done the first half, first 2 weeks, and then he came back to Mayapur in his service. I said, what was it like? And he said, it was, how did he say? He said, like, it flattened the false ego. Because he said, at night time, you don't get any special facilities or anything. Not like going Prabhupada, disciple, and all these things. You just sleep like everyone else. And he said, the tent was hot, they just had big pandal. Tent was hot, you know, not much facility. And he said, it's very good for, he said, it flattened the false ego. He was being very humble. He said he felt purified by that. But he went there and it was like, you know, he just had to do the same as everyone else. Couldn't think, oh, I am special like that. So sometimes we have to go through those situations. Good, healthy, good work. Actually, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, he recommended that we always, every day, do menial services to the Vaishnavas. Every day you must do menial services. Because that keeps you in the humble state of mind. You have to serve the devotees. He actually said you should serve 5 devotees every day. Yeah. So we should do like that. Always offer menial services. And that keeps the ego down. Any points?
Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malti's husband, he has written a very nice book. Mm-hmm. He has just come, basically, rhinoceros. And he has given, how about this, Srila Prabhupada? No impurity of any kind. He was there for 7 years. And they were doing a very wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to get that book. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he also told in the beginning that he was on drugs. His wife was also on drugs. And how clear the Prabhupada was clarified his point. He came to tell you.
Okay. Best among men, if you like, please truly describe your birth, activities, and lineage to us who are eager to hear. So, it says in the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, between verses 12 and 20 of canto 1, chapter 2. Chapter 2 is called?
Divinity and
Divine Service. Prabhupada said that chapter is so important, we should memorize every verse in that chapter. So between verses 12 and 20, it describes the process of advancement beginning from Shraddha to Prema. So everything that Rupa Goswami elaborated upon in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasa Nidhi, that came from those seed verses. In the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Sushrushaho Shraddha Nasya Vasudeva Pita Ruchi. We have to develop an eagerness to hear about Vasudeva, which means Krishna. And actually it says here that he is known as Vasudeva. So we have to develop that eagerness to hear more and more, and that we cannot live without. We have to always pray to Krishna that you have the opportunity to hear, and then you have to take the opportunity. If Krishna gives you the opportunity, you have to take it. Just like in Christianity, they have one joke. So one man was drowning in the ocean, and he prayed to God, "Save me, save me." And then one helicopter came and then dropped the ladder to pick him up out of the ocean. And I said, "Grab the ladder." He said, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me." So I thought, what is this guy? So after some time he drowned. Didn't get the ladder and then drowned. But he drowned and then he went to heaven. And he saw God. And then he said, "I was waiting for you to save me." And he said, "Well, I sent a helicopter. I sent a ladder. What is your problem?" So we have to take advantage. The opportunity is there for us to hear about Krishna, but we have to take advantage of that opportunity. We have to become eager to hear about Krishna. That's the qualification to advance in Krishna consciousness. We advance according to our eagerness to hear and chant about Krishna. If you're not eager to hear and chant, then you don't advance. Don't waste time. "As for ourselves, O tiger among men, we belong to a family of fallen Kshatriyas, descendants of King Ikshvaku. My name is Muchukunda, my lord. I am the son of Yovan Ashwa." So here, he is calling himself Kshatra Bandava. What does that mean?
Bandhu of father.
Yeah, like friend. Like related to. No, I'm not a Kshatriya, but I'm related to the Kshatriya. Like that. So that's humility. Sometimes we meet devotees and then we like to tell them everything. "Oh, I've done this service, I've done that service, and I do this and I do that," and like that. And there's no genuine humility there. But Muchukunda is showing in front of Krishna, he's showing real humility. "I'm just a Kshatriya Bandhava. I'm just a friend of the Kshatriya." I think he's very qualified Kshatriya. He just fought for thousands of years against demons, and, on behalf of the demigods. The demigods had to ask him to. So he's very powerful Kshatriya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "As soon as you think you're exalted, you are fallen. And if you think you are fallen, then you are doing nothing in devotional service." So we should not think of ourselves as something. That takes purification. For us it's very mechanical and very almost artificial on a lot of levels. Now, humility is not really a deep level of humility at that point. It's very much a formality. Oh, no. What's that?
Lip service.
Yeah, lip service. Okay. Sometimes, well, not like that. Not completely. Some devotees show very nice humility, but other times we show nice humility and other times we just adore the accolades or the popularity that we receive. So here Muchukunda is showing us the example. "I think you are the Supreme Personality." I think I read that right. Okay. "I was fatigued after remaining awake for a long time, and my senses were overwhelmed by sleep. Thus I slept comfortably here in this solitary place until just now someone woke me. The man who woke me was burned to ashes by the reaction of his sins. Just then I saw you possessing a glorious appearance and the power to chastise your enemies." So what did Krishna do? How did he kill Kali Yama? So Krishna has 64 qualities. Which quality could we say Krishna displayed here?
Yeah, that's right.
64 qualities. Yeah, renunciation. Very good. One quality I'm thinking of. Krishna is displayed. Daksha. Daksha means? Expert. That's one of Krishna's 64 qualities. Expert. Killed Mochakunda, killed Kalayavana. Didn't even have to touch him. That's expert. You can kill someone, you didn't even have to touch him. Very expert. And while he was doing that, he achieved many things simultaneously. That's another of his qualities, which is called genius. I don't know what the Sanskrit for that one is. That's another quality that simultaneously many actions were performed. Mochakunda got to see Krishna, Kalyavana was destroyed. So simultaneously different things manifest. That's Krishna's expertise.
Samar. He's very capable.
Very capable.
Has all the qualities. He's Purna and Samar, these are the qualities of the Lord. Purna means complete, Samar means very capable.
Your unbearably brilliant effulgence overwhelms our strength, and thus we cannot fix our gaze upon you. O exalted one, you are to be honored by all embodied beings.
Really surprising, it's talking about his unbearably brilliant effulgence, because when Kalyavana entered, Krishna had withdrawn that effulgence, so he couldn't see Krishna, he just saw Mukunda lying down. Krishna was there in the field at that time, and it should have been all effulgence. Kalyavana would have seen Krishna inside the field also.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus addressed by the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, origin of all creation, smiled and then replied to him in a voice as deep as the rumbling of loud. The Supreme Lord said, my dear friend, I have taken thousands of births, lived thousands of lives, and accepted thousands of names. In fact, my births, activities, and names are limitless, and thus even I cannot count them. Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Both you and I have had many births. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. So that is Krishna's supremacy. He's Savagya. Savagya means he knows everything simultaneously. Nothing is forgotten. We are Sava. I don't know what the word is. Sava Agya. All forgetful. You tell people something and they. Even 5 minutes later, they come out. What was that you told me to do? So this is the nature of Kali Yuga. But Krishna simultaneously removes everything. After many lifetimes, someone might count the dust particles on the earth, but no one can ever finish counting my qualities, activities, names, and births. O King, the greatest sages enumerate my births and activities which take place throughout the three phases of time, but never do they reach the end of them. So Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. It says that even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says that Anantasesh, there are thousands of hoods. All of those hoods are simultaneously and eternally glorifying the qualities and the name and the form and the pastimes of the Lord, but they can never come to the end. So inexhaustible. So it's unlimited what can be said. And even Prabhupada, like he would read his own book. And then Prabhupada, sometimes I would say, Prabhupada, why are you reading the book?
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said, they're not my book, they're Krishna. So even he was getting realizations, Prabhupada, continuously about Krishna. It was unlimited.
These cases is past, present, and future.
Nonetheless, O friend, I will tell you about my current birth, name, and activities. Kindly hear. Some time ago, Lord Brahma requested me to protect religious principles and destroy the demons who were burdening the earth. Thus I descended in the Yadu dynasty, in the home of Anakadundubi. Indeed, because I am the son of Vasudev, people call me Vasudev. So, this is why he comes. And this is what this part of the Bhagavatam is about. This part of the Bhagavatam is Krishna fulfilling his mission. The first chapter of the 10th canto, Bhumi asked him to come. She went to Brahma, and then Brahma took Bhumi to Vaitadweep, and then they prayed to Lord Vishnu. And I said, please, come. And then, within the heart of Lord Brahma, he said, go and prepare. Tell all the demigods to take birth in the Yadu dynasty. So that's why he's coming to this material world. That is his, one of his main purposes. In this next section, that's what it's about. Now he is destroying the demon. So it's significant, as we said. He is establishing Dharma. And then it says in the Bhagavatam, the sixth question by the sages in the first chapter. They ask six questions, one of the final questions. No. What's the number six? Yeah. Where is religion and knowledge taken shelter? Dharma and Jnana. Where have they taken shelter? Now that Krishna has gone. That's the sixth question that the sages ask. So then, the sages, in the first three chapters of the first canto, then Sudha Goswami answers those questions. And then he says that Jnana and Dharma, now that Krishna is gone, they are in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we want to establish Dharma and transcendental knowledge all over the earth, we have to establish the principles of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to distribute the books, Prabhupada's books, and we have to teach people the culture that we learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why we study this. So we become qualified to purify others. That's our mission.
Lord Brahma can go to the
All the Krishna's incarnation. I have killed Kala Nemi, reborn as Kamsa, as well as Pralamba and other enemies of the pious. And now, O king, this barbarian has been burned to ashes by your piercing glance. Since in the past you repeatedly prayed to me, I have personally come to this cave to show you mercy, for I am affectionately inclined to my devotee. So Krishna wants to see all of his devotees happy and satisfied. Therefore, what is the best way for Krishna to make us happy and satisfied? To give us his association. So Krishna wants to give us his association. Prabhupada says if you take one step to Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps towards you. So if you are serious in your devotional service, Krishna wants to reciprocate. He wants to reveal himself. And he wants to make sure we're qualified. So therefore, we just take steps and surrender, and then Krishna will reciprocate. Because he wants to see the devotees happy and satisfied. But then, when you've been practicing devotional service for a number of years, you begin to think about this. I think about it quite a lot. That I'm practicing devotional service, I'm trying to purify myself, I want to see Krishna on one level, but I don't know if in this lifetime I will get to the level required to actually have darshan of Krishna directly. So then what to do? Srila Prabhupada once said, if you are 70% purified, then Prabhupada can cover the rest of them. Maybe that's possible. Maybe that's achievable. Maybe 70% is achievable. Even that's not even 70%. He'd surrender also. But if we surrender to Krishna, then he will reciprocate. Since in the past you repeatedly prayed to me, I have personally come to the cave to show you my mercy. You read that? Okay. It's a very important verse. But we'll read the last verse for tonight. Now choose your benediction from me, O saintly king. I will fulfill all your desires. For one who has satisfied me need never again lament. So when we come in contact with Krishna, then Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Na Sochiti, Na Kankshiti. Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta means to understand that you are spiritual. That's the level of advancement we're meant to come to. We're meant to understand that we are the, not the body, we are the soul. Actually understand it. When we come to that level, na sochiti, na kanchiti. We won't lament and we won't hanker for anything. Now, a devotee, Krishna is saying here to Muchakunda, please ask a benediction from me. And what is Muchakunda? What is his consciousness? Yeah, the consciousness of a devotee doesn't actually ask for anything. That's why the verse is there in the Bhagavad Gita, the second canto, akarma, sarvakarmava, mokshakarma, udharadi. We should be akarma. Akarma, which means we shouldn't have desires. We should not be asking Krishna for anything except service. Yeah, I just want to serve. You don't have to give me anything. If you give me something, that's your choice, but I just want to serve. Yeah, that was his consciousness. Yeah. Krishna's benedictions are imperishable. It means the benediction Krishna will give you, as Dhruva Maharaj said, I was asking for broken glass. Instead I got the jewels. Krishna wants to give us imperishable reciprocation. He wants us to receive his association. So he wants to give us the highest benediction. So we have to be very careful what we ask for in our devotional service. We said that last time as well. Be careful what you meditate upon while you're chanting around. Most of the time, it's hard for us to even chant around because we're so tired these days. That's what I mean, not attentive. It's tough, it's tougher. As other it's hard for you to chant attentive rounds because you're so tired. Yeah. At least sometimes. I'm so tired. Sometimes I'm so tired at the moment when I'm chanting. Yeah. Even one time, Jamal Krishnamurti came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, while I'm chanting, all I can think about is... Yeah, that one. But another time he said, I can only think about this bylaw and that bylaw and this thing. I'm trying to win the Juhu land back. And I'm chanting my rounds, but all I'm thinking is this and this and this. And Prabhupada said, it is the same for me. He said, I'm chanting, but my mind is completely distracted. Yeah. So that is good if we're distracted by service. But sometimes we're just so tired we just can't even focus properly. Well, at least you have to make some time in your life, in your year, where you set aside time where you can actually chant for the best of your ability. Hare Krishna. Any other points? Sure. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.